In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today for the Word for Life program, and brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church, here with lead pastor of Brookside, Pastor Ken Keltner, along with myself, Jack Gardner, Word for Life producer. Really glad that you joined us here. Would like to let you know of some things coming up here at Brookside. The 9th, which is a Friday, there'll be a stakeout and an opportunity for you to bring someone and hear the gospel. Of course, $15 for a steak and potato.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty fair price, especially today. And Rich McCarroll is going to be speaking on the most controversial verse in the Bible that night. And I think that's going to be a great time, especially if you have someone who's not really involved in church. I mean, it's an informal evening, you know, here at Brookside, and I hope that you'll be able to come. And just give us a call. Let us know that you're planning on coming so we make sure we have enough food.
Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday the 10th, he'll be going over questions that every man must ask. So make sure that you contact the church for that as well, and for any more information. Pastor Ken, we have been going over Joshua chapter 5, actually, and I think we're transitioning a bit here.
Yeah, we're just kind of coming to the conclusion. So this is going to be some huge climax as you read for us, as all these events that have been taking place there as they've been at Gilgal National Monument, so to speak, and Joshua is going to have a very personal encounter with the Lord himself. And so why don't you read verses 13 to 15 as it bridges into really a time that we're going to be seeing the children take over Jericho.
And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so.
You know, Jack, that actually sounds a whole lot like Exodus chapter 3 when Moses is out in the wilderness and he sees the burning bush, but the bush isn't burning.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes up and God speaks to him out of the bush and basically tells him the same thing. Take your sandals off, for the ground you stand on is holy ground.
Wow.
So this encounter that Joshua is having right now, I mean, can you imagine getting ready to go to war and all of a sudden Joshua's out, maybe he's out talking to the Lord beforehand, and he sees or hears something, looks over, and there's a man in looks like full battle gear standing there. And man, he wants to know, "You for us or against us?" And it's the Lord himself. And so the Lord's doing a work now in his life, just like he did in Moses. But also, not only the children of Israel, because it's getting ready to move time, move out, folks.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be thinking too about the people there in Jericho that have had the gates all shut and nobody in or out, because we're watching this mass of people here, because it said that Joshua was right there near Jericho when this encounter took place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people of Jericho Rahab had already said they were fearful.
Mm.
But you wonder,
their hearts melted.
Yeah, exactly. You wonder what Rahab, maybe some of the ridicule she took for that scarlet red cord hanging out her window.
Because obviously they told her, that's what you need to put in the window if you want to protect you and your family. And she did so immediately.
Yeah, she did it immediately, as soon as they left, because she had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of times, you know, we conclude that all of a sudden, after they left her place, that the Lord was going to have the Israelites descend on the Canaanites immediately without warning and wipe them off the face of the earth, but that's not what happened.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder also what was going through her mind, and also the questions that other people were asking of her that were seeing her do that, much like Noah and the ark.
Well, I believe that she's in the a Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. Outside of Sarah, she and Sarah are the only women mentioned in that chapter. And she was a woman of faith. I mean, she believed in the God of Israel. And I had a feeling, most likely, she was telling them, hey, we're in trouble. We need to repent. We need to come to the God of Israel. And I think that was probably a great message, because Israel didn't immediately descend on Jericho, because God had some time that he wanted them to be renewed in their own obedience and commitment to him. And if you remember, there were they had the reminder of the stones that were going to be there for them, you know, as a monument in Gilgal to the fact of these stones are that we crossed over on dry ground when God stopped the waters of the Jericho, even in flood season. And then there was the living memorials, and there were two of them specifically that we studied last week or the last session there, where God created a covenant between himself and Abraham years earlier, and it was a covenant of circumcision. And that was the mark that God had created there for Abraham and all the male children. And yet, while in the wilderness, Israel had not kept this covenant mark, and God wanted them to come back to that oath that was made, that covenant that was made with Abraham. And so circumcision did two things. One, it marked a Jew as a Jew, but it also marked the spiritual side of the covenant. Recalling this, that we're told Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so God not only gave natural promises to Abraham, but he gave spiritual promises to the whole world, that we're all going to be blessed through the seed of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. But it's interesting, immediately after the men were circumcised, we looked at, in our last session, the second sign was observed, where he says in verse 10, "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, even in the plains of Jericho." I mean, Passover was just a very simple memorial, but one that had not been observed for the 40 years of wandering. You know, if you remember, the Lord had used those 10 plagues to break the Egyptians' grip on the Israelites. And that final plague was the mass slaying of the firstborn in every family. It was an incredible slaughter. In fact, Exodus 12:30 records it for us this way, "For there was not a home where there was not someone dead." The Lord had made provision to spare the Israelites, so they were able to avoid this death angel by sacrificing a spotless lamb and spreading the blood of the lamb on the frame of the door. And when the angel saw the blood, he would pass over that house. That's why you have that word, the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lesson of the Passover was that deliverance from the judgment of God required the death of an innocent substitute. And Jesus eventually is going to be that innocent substitute.
Mm-hmm.
But yet that's what the whole sacrificial system of Israel communicated. Deliverance is going to be available, but it's going to come at a price. I mean, from the perspective of the law, the lamb was pure. But it wasn't the sacrifice of a spotless lamb that ultimately would satisfy God's wrath. I mean, those sacrifices could not accomplish anything necessarily on their own. Instead, they were pointing to ahead to God's ultimate provision, when he would supply the true Passover lamb in the sacrifice of his dear son. That's why John the Baptist, when he saw him, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So in Joshua 5, we read that on the day after Passover, again, the manna ceased, thus ended that 40-year miracle. But the Passover reminded the Jews of the redemption from Egypt. The manna reminded them of their desire to go back to Egypt. God fed his people the bread of heaven, the food of angels. And yet they still lusted for the leeks and onions of Egypt, we're told in Numbers 11. And God easily took his people out of Egypt, but it was difficult for him to take Egypt out of his people. Let me just pause here for a second and just say, too many professing believers contradict their profession of faith in Christ by exhibiting an appetite for what belonged in their past life. I mean, some have this insatiable appetite for the world. That should not be so for the believer. I mean, listen to what Paul told the church at Colossae in Colossians 3. He said, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. I mean, using this imagery of Joshua, it means you've crossed the river and you're now in your inheritance. Don't go back. Maybe that's all you need to hear this morning. Maybe you need to bow your heart and ask forgiveness right now because you've been loving what God said he hates. I mean, John in his epistle said, love not the world, the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so let's begin to look at the remarkable work of God in our own lives, but also in our study, the remarkable work that God's going to give the children with the city of Jericho, because they had massive walls that totally fortified the city. Let me just say, for those of you who are in for a big fight, now let me put it another way, for those of you who have fought a big fight in the past, or you're now engaged in a big struggle, or you have plans in the not-so-distant future to be involved in a big struggle, I believe that'll kind of cover it. If that's where you are today, I believe this narrative leading into Joshua 6 is going to encourage you to see how to handle these walls of difficulties. You need to be warned that possibly the odds are against you and winning the fight are against you. Maybe you're not as strong, not as stable, not as smart as your opponent. Maybe somebody in your family, it may be somebody at work, it may be somebody at your former job, it may be somebody even at church, maybe a former marriage partner, maybe in the form of something like an addiction. But can I tell you that regardless of who the opponent is, it's a fight, and you might be easily intimidated knowing that you don't stand a chance unless you really muscle up or get smarter than your opponent, that you're weaker by comparison and you've really never faced this situation before. It has the markings of defeat written all over it, but you know you must win this battle because there's a lot at stake. And I want to tell you this morning that you have learned to fight the wrong way. You and I have been raised to match strength or wits. If the opponent is strong, we must be stronger. If they're smart, we must be smarter. Because after all, you overcome by overwhelming, not by being intimidated. And all of this is true unless we're going to do it God's way. When you do it God's way, the strategy is totally different, and you learn a whole new set of rules. You learn, after all, that when God is in it, because he specializes in those occasions, when we're outnumbered, outsized, outmanned, and outsmarted, when we win his way, he's the one who gets all the glory. And God wants you, and he wants me to trust him because he delights to do the unusual to accomplish the impossible. And I say, friends, this is not just some kind of religious dream or pious pie-in-the-sky fantasy, but it's a serious truth to live by. And so before we can begin a study that faith will bring down the walls, we're going to have to understand that as we fight the battles, it's not going to be in our own flesh. It's going to be the Lord pulling down those strongholds, and that's who we have to completely put our trust in. I trust you'll have victory in your life today. Join us again as we pick up chapter 5 into chapter 6 of Joshua.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.